This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A job market where people are too discouraged to look.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. There is news this morning that unemployment fell slightly to 7.3%, and 169,000 more people were on the payroll in August, but the previous month's job creation number was revised sharply downward. Let's look at this latest jobs report with Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial. Morning, Chris.
Good morning.
So job creation figures right about what people were expecting, but it's not a grade A. It's more like, what, a B minus or something?
Now, David, this is more like a flat-out C. The issue is that, yeah, we had job growth that was just a little bit weaker than expected at 169,000. But June and July were revised way down by 74,000. July job growth was only 104,000. That's about half of what we'd like to see on a monthly basis.
Did you see the labor force participation rate in this report? People actually in the job market at all? It's the lowest since, I think, the disco era, the summer of 1978.
Yeah, there are two surveys done. One is of establishments, the other is of households. What the household survey showed was actually job losses this month, but the unemployment rate falls anyway because so many people dropped out. They became discouraged and just plain stopped looking. So no matter how you slice it, even with the drop in the unemployment rate, it's just not that good.
Economist Chris Lowe at FTN Financial. There's employment and unemployment, but I also wanted to talk to someone suffering in between. Joseph Matala of Duluth, Minnesota. He knows all too much about underemployment. Joe, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
So tell me the type of work you're doing these days.
I'm currently a courier. We pick up and deliver medical samples that the other courier companies either can't take or won't take.
And you haven't been doing the courier stuff forever, have you?
No, I was laid off from the phone company back in 2010 when they closed the Duluth office.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. So you're out looking for how long?
Well, I went back to school, got a certification as a paralegal, and then I was out looking for probably a year, year and a half.
And no luck on the paralegal stuff?
No, apparently the paralegal jobs are being snapped up by people coming straight out of law school. I mean, who wouldn't want a 20-something lawyer instead of a 58-year-old paralegal?
I don't know, but I see your point. That tells us something about the job market, doesn't it, when people with tons of training are going into paralegal?
Well, I'm told it's a way to get into a legal office.
So, courier, I mean, you wanted paralegal. At some level, would you ultimately like to find something that more plays to your skills?
I would like to find something that made better use of my skills and, you know, perhaps had better financial reimbursement. I currently make $10.35 an hour, which, according to our president, is working poor.
And how are you finding it? Does it make your budget work or is it a struggle?
Well, I'm currently living with family because it doesn't make my budget work. I still can't live out on my own at this wage.
Mm. What is your sense more generally of the job market in your piece of Minnesota?
Well, there's a lot of entry-level retail. There's a lot of entry-level fast food. But otherwise, we don't really have any manufacturing or any big businesses here in town.
Joseph Matala in Duluth, Minnesota, used to work for the phone company till about 3 years ago. He's trained up as a paralegal, but currently working as a medical courier. Joe, thank you very much.
Oh, it's my pleasure, David.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to freakonomicsradio.com.
Who gets the Summer Olympics in 2020? The International Olympic Committee makes the announcement tomorrow. With terribly high unemployment in Spain, worries about Fukushima radiation in Japan, and political unrest and refugees in Turkey, the cities of Istanbul, Tokyo, and Madrid are all facing economic and other uncertainty. Rowan Moore Garrity reports.
The Olympics may bring in a lot of money and tourism, but they're also incredibly expensive to put on. Brad Humphreys is an economist at West Virginia University.
The most important factor the IOC is taking into account is that the host city or region can actually pay for all the goodies that they promise to build.
The bidding process is set up to extract as much money as possible as cities compete with pledges to build bigger, better, newer. Victor Matheson teaches economics at the College of the Holy Cross.
Any bid that's likely to make economic sense is unlikely to get chosen by the IOC. And any bid that's likely to be chosen by the IOC is very unlikely to make economic sense.
He says the Olympics are good for construction companies and bad for taxpayers. Humphreys cites Athens in 2004.
Now, I'm not saying it caused the economy to collapse, but I think the Olympic debt didn't help them any in Greece.
Whether it makes economic sense, the IOC does like a narrative of overcoming adversity. And that's something all three finalists have. In Los Angeles, I'm Rowan Moore Garrity for Marketplace.
And the Russians are denying anyone ever said it, but the BBC reports a Russian official at the G20 summit in St. Petersburg called Britain a small island that no one listens to. UK Prime Minister David Cameron isn't taking this lying down, whether or not the comment was ever uttered. Britain may be a small island, Cameron told reporters, but Britain was the country that helped abolish slavery. It rid Europe of fascism and, quote, invented most of the things worth inventing. Sixth largest economy, he went on. A fine record in art, literature, philosophy, and world civilization. The Prime Minister got into such a groove with his patriotic outburst today that he added, I'm thinking of setting this to music. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.